Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Zudio in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys flapping gums and being chums, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today, it's time for more Nerd Alerts.
Nerd Alerts.
Nerd Alerts. So, we just did a whole big series on our Head of the Heist crew.
Yes.
And go back and listen to that if you haven't. I got a Photoshop to put it. I got to put it on Instagram. I'll do that today.
Yep.
This is Saturday. You'll see an Instagram Photoshop show up. And then we decided that we like doing these Nerd Alerts. They're fun. And we thought it would be, usually after we do a series, this is inside baseball stuff here.
After
we do a series, we like to do some kind of one-shot thing. Because, you know, there's so much research figuring out who you're going to pick. And so we decided that Nerd Alerts is a nice palate cleanser because Mikey is awesome. And he literally just finds stories all through when he's going through the internet, reading stuff, and just copies and pastes and put it in a big giant file. And then we run through it.
AKA Mikey spends way too much time on the internet.
Yeah, well, but at least
we're using it for good.
Yes, you're using it for good, and you're staying off of social media and all that kind of stuff. So, Nerd Alerts, this is the July 2020 edition of Nerd Alerts.
Boop, boop, boop.
And we send you over to the host of Nerd Alerts, Mikey.
Oh, man, is there so much nerdy stuff happening? There's a nerdy wind coming in from the northeast and some nerdy rain expected later this week now. Oh, wait, sorry, wrong Nerd Alerts. So.
Nerdy rain.
But there are a lot of nerd headlines on the internet these days, starting with some TV. That's what it's at the top of my notes, so good place to start as any. But Henry Cavill has broken the internet, it seems, over the last couple days. Have you seen this? Henry Cavill building his own PC.
I have. And it's funny, the way I saw it, I believe I saw it on Twitter through someone, a mutual podcasting friend who has another podcast.
Oh, nice.
Who's a female, and it was basically like, oh my gosh, I could watch this all day long. Because, you know, he's got like an A-shirt on, right?
Yep.
While he's doing it. He's got the guns out.
Yeah, he's still Superman.
Yeah, or The Witcher.
Or The Witcher.
But he's got the guns out while he's building a PC. Because I think we talked earlier about him being nerdy, right? Well, no, we talked about him playing The Witcher video game.
Yeah, and being into swords and stuff like that. Like, so we knew he had some nerd inklings.
Right, right. And he was so much in the Witcher video game that he was trying to, when he did the spell or whatever, he was like trying to perfect how it looked in the game.
I wonder if he was doing the Star Wars thing and making noises, you know. It's like, we're going to add noises later. You don't have to make sounds with your mouth.
like Ewan McGregor did, yeah.
But yeah, so Henry Cavill built his own PC. He leveled up his nerd. And it's hilarious to see because he knows what he's doing, you know.
Yeah, it was obvious that that wasn't his first rodeo.
Yeah.
In building a PC. So that was, I don't remember. Did he have any like effects on there? Did he have any lights on there?
No, I don't think he went that far. It was a pretty basic build.
Yeah.
If you want to be pedantic about it, he could have been a little bit more complex and water cooled it, but you know, whatever.
He didn't totally pimp it out.
Yeah.
Well, he's British, so I don't know what that means.
He's allowed. He has class while he builds a PC and a tank top. Oh, just hilarious that the internet was all like, holy crap, he's a nerd, but look at him. But in other happy Henry Cavill news, Witcher 2 is coming back. They started pre-production before the dark times, and it wasn't sure what the end result would be, but more headlines have pointed towards everybody has quarantined, everybody has gotten back together, things are starting up, I think, towards the end of August. So they are on track to hit their rumored summer 2021 release date for season 2.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's real. Like Hollywood, I guess we'll just call it Hollywood in general. Both Hollywood and sports seems to have this kind of new model where they're saying like, all right, let's test everyone. And if you're clean, you'll all live here.
Yep.
Please don't leave. And we'll get done what we need to get done. And then you guys can go back to life. So I've heard about a few things trying to ramp production up, do it a little quicker than they usually do, so people aren't quarantined or sequestered or whatever you want to call it that long. Because technically quarantine is a sick person. But anyway,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to, as I push up my nerd glasses, technically quarantine's a sick person. But yeah, it's interesting. Like we figured, people always find a way to get done what needs to get done, what they want to get done.
I think James Cameron's doing the same thing. I don't have it in my notes, but I think I've read about it or heard about it.
Yeah.
He took his whole crew down to New Zealand because that's where they're going to film anyway. And New Zealand's been the best case so far. And they followed all safety protocols to be like down there for 14 days doing nothing and getting back to work.
Yeah, I heard that Toronto's doing really well, too. And they've already shot a lot of stuff there anyway. So that's kind of becoming a destination.
Cheaper permits, too, I heard. I think that's why Batman was up there.
Yeah. Toronto and Vancouver are used for a lot of things.
Right on.
And I guess they have enough. I mean, I've never been to Toronto. I've been to Vancouver, though. And I know that Vancouver is one of those cool places that is a seaside town at the foot of a mountain in the Pacific Northwest. So you can get, and it's kind of has that, because Canada's very leans British, their architecture is kind of a little more Euro looking in a lot of ways. But also it's in North America, so they also have things that look United States-y, so you can find a lot of sets in the area.
I've only been to Toronto once, but I see how it is and can be used as a mini stand-in for like parts of Detroit or mini New York City or kind of Chicago looking, so I get it.
Yeah.
On the sadder side of talking about production of things, I've been sitting around, this has been on my mind, it's like we haven't heard from Marvel recently, really since the Infinity War movies. You know, it's like there was so much of it and then all of a sudden it's kind of quiet. So that is because all the TV shows they had planned, we talked about them in our year ahead and our look ahead episodes that we did, if you go back and check those out. But The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the first one that was supposed to be coming up, is delayed and will not be coming out for its expected summer release.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
Sad trombone.
Yeah, like, it's unfortunate because, like, I mean, I know Marvel can handle it because it's Marvel. Just talking about those Avengers movies, I think they made more money than everybody else in the movie business in one fell swoop. So I think they'll be all right, but it's just a bummer because that being pushed back pushes back everything, but there's still so much cool stuff on the horizon. WandaVision, the What If series, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk. So it's all still coming. Nothing's been canceled. So keep a lookout on that for that. It's just going to be a little bit slower.
Yeah, they might end up having to do the sequester thing too. You know, just put everyone on in a compound until you can get it done and then send everyone back. So
they could probably just build an island on the like Disneyland or Disney World property somewhere and just be like, this is the secret set. Nobody can leave here. Create like the NFL bubble kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing with the NBA.
That's what it is.
The NBA is in Orlando. I guess they'll be there for a couple, 3 months doing that. And then also the NHL starting up again, hockey, and they're doing that somewhere up in, maybe they're doing it in Toronto, somewhere up in Canada.
Yeah, I would have been my first guess of somewhere in Canada.
Somewhere in Canada. I know there is a lot. I know every little town in Canada has a NHL-sized rink, so it seems like you could find a middle-of-nowhere place where there's not a lot of cases to do hockey, I'm sure.
Got
to
keep that lifeblood going. That's half of Canada is hockey.
It is. And it's fun. I love hockey. So much fun. Hockey's the sport that this nerd is into.
Yeah. It's a fight you can go to and a sport will break out. It's the best. That's Rodney Dangerfield, though. No respect at all. This is specifically tailored a headline for Kevin. Disney Plus announced for 2021 that they are going to release more animated Star Wars called Star Wars The Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
Have you heard about this yet?
Yeah, I have heard about it. The Bad Batch is a bunch of clones from... They were in Clone Wars, right?
Yes.
For
one episode, or for a four-arc episode, sorry.
Yes. Okay, that's who I was thinking of. I wanted to make sure that I was right.
Yep.
Because the funny thing about Nerd Alerts is Mikey surprises me sometimes. Test Kevin's knowledge on nerddom.
Give your immediate reaction.
Immediate reaction. Well, I'm not surprised at all, and I'm surprised we're not hearing even more stuff in animation, because what you can do during a pandemic is do animation, because that can all be done from home.
Oh, absolutely.
every last bit of it. You just have to, if the people don't have the equipment, you ship it to them and they help them set it up and over the phone or whatever. And then
somebody draws it, somebody voices it. And
you can get it all done. You don't need to be anywhere. So it's real interesting. It makes me wonder, tangent, because it's Nerd Alerts and this is what we do. It makes me wonder how much this will lead to a rise in animated things. I mean, I know that, I mean, it was already strong. Mm-hmm. Animation was already strong. There's already lots of stuff.
Yep.
But it just seems like if you're like a studio or something and you had maybe a back burner project or a project that wasn't fully greenlit and you're like, well, we can't make do production on any live action stuff unless we do that stuff like the New Zealand stuff and stuff we were talking about before.
Yep, yep.
It seems like green lighting animated things would be the way to go. So I wonder if it's going to be like in 2021, 2022, 2023, because some of them take years, you know, 2024, it's going to be like, how come like 3/4 of the movies are animated right now? You know, it'll be like, pandemic. Remember that pandemic we had?
Why is everything animated? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be extremely happy about that. There was rumor. I wish I could remember the title of the show they were talking about, but there is a show that's coming back that they did. It's a live action show, but for the last season, I guess just because they wanted to wrap it up, they are going to animate it, but have all the actors do like all the voices. So it's still the same show. It's just animated instead of live action. So that'd be neat to see. For The Bad Batch, this one is executive produced by Dave Filoni, of course.
Yes.
So that's a good start right off the bat. And you were right. It's a group of clones that have apparently like mutations that sound like superpowers. So it's almost like Clone Wars X-Men.
Yeah, it's the Bad Batch is literally called The Bad Batch because they're a bad batch of, because clones are made in batches, I guess.
Yep.
And they're ones that mutated, so they weren't right, quote unquote. They weren't what they were looking for in a clone.
They didn't pass quality assurance, yeah.
Yeah, but they were still beings, and they still had their own set of skills, so they ended up making them into kind of a special forces group in a way. So it's pretty cool.
I didn't hear about them until the announcement of this, so I'm super excited for it because I'm still way behind on Clone Wars and Rebels, but it's in my backlog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's so much backlog.
The queue just keeps getting longer and longer.
I know.
But for more TV, and this will bring us into movie news, we'll do a double. We talked about Superman. Now I want to talk about Batman. Because much like I was thinking, where'd Marvel go? You kind of wonder where Batman went. Because, like, we had the Joker movie. That did well, but, you know, came and went, it seems. But we haven't, the last Batman that I love was Christopher Nolan's, and that was almost 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
There's a new one coming out. Matt Reeves, the Batman, played by Robert Pattinson. Any immediate thoughts? You're making a face.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah, okay, I guess. I mean, I got nothing against the guy. I mean, he was Hufflepuff,
yes.
So that's great and all, but he's got that sparkly vampire stink all over him now.
He was, like, yep, he was in Twilight.
But, I mean, sure, I mean, why not? I'm not against anyone taking on the cowl, I guess it would be. And so, I mean, we've had so many. It's crazy. It's actually crazy how many Batmen there have been. It's really, a lot.
It seems like there's been one for every generation, starting off with Adam West.
Every generation. It's like every like half generation.
Well, every decade, I guess, would be the more appropriate way to say it.
Yeah. Because it used to be just like, oh, it's Michael Keaton and
Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
Yeah. Even in the 90s, there was 3 of them, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Batman Returns were Tim Burton's. Then you got Joel Schumacher's. And they came back with Christopher Nolan's. And now there was the like Suicide Squad Joker spinoffs. But now we're back to the man himself with a guy named Matt Reeves.
It's real interesting. You ever thought about how, like, Marvel has this kind of cohesive giant arc they're doing where they're trying to tie in everything, which is what they do in their comic books generally.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, DC is also doing what it does in its comic books in a lot of ways, in that there's oftentimes just, you know, the one writer, one artist will do a series and then that's it. And it has nothing to do with any of the other ones.
It's more of a one-off change in hands kind of stuff.
Yeah, whereas like the TV shows for DC, those are way more interconnected, and that's more like DC's does also have interconnected. I guess comic books do it both ways, don't they? Comic books will have kind of an arc where all their books will kind of mix together. And you,
so, yeah.
But then they'll also have those one-shot ones, too, one-shot series as well. So it's interesting because that's kind of like what it is. All these different Batmen or like all these different writers, because I'll tell you, when I was more into Batman with DC, a little bit of Superman when I was a kid. And I remember I've heard people say like, oh, how many times do we have to see a movie that has Batman's parents dying? And I'm like, I know I've seen that drawn by artists like 5 or 6 different times.
Yeah.
So it's kind of almost tradition if you are super no comic books.
Yeah. Everybody's got to put their little touch and spin on it.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me that, I mean, I don't know why people are probably like, yeah, dude, but I hear more complaints about, like, again. And if you're a comic book fan, it is always again.
Yes.
I mean, that's why, like, with Spider-Man, there's, like, the Amazing Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, you know, they're all different Spider-Man. I like saying it like they're a Jewish family lives across the street.
The Spider-Man! There's a new one.
Spider-Man. Mr. and Mrs. Spider-Man.
Oh, I love it. But the good news about this, The Batman, I think that's the official title, is rumors are that this will not be an origin story. Whether they just gloss over it and do it real quick in like the title cards or the monologue, you know, right at the start of the montage right at the start of the movie remains to be seen. But apparently this is going to focus on like Batman Year One, his start getting into like a partnership with Gotham PD and actually being like the thug beating up detective, like his early days as Batman. So kind of an origin story, but more as his career origin story rather than him becoming Batman.
Oh, wow. So they're kind of going best detective in the world type old school Batman.
That's how the rumors seem to point, you know. We'll know when we get there. There's only production just started, so there's only so many leaks out there, but seems like it's on the right course to be at least entertaining.
That's interesting. That makes me think Robert Pattinson more, because if they're going for that kind of more Sherlock Holmes in a superhero costume vibe, then Robert Pattinson seems like a good fit for that.
Here's the other neat part about that. They've shown pictures of the Batmobile now, and it's not like the souped-up Christopher Nolan tank version. It's actually kind of like an old classic car that a millionaire just put like tactical weapons on. So it's almost like a Rockford car that he's like, I have a whole bunch of money. What can I add in here? So let's make Rockford's car into the 18 van, and that's the new Batmobile. So it's real cool looking.
Interesting. I might be able to get back in because they lost me after. I mean, I liked all those Dark Knight ones.
Yep.
And then DC kind of lost me.
I got you.
With what was happening there.
Well,
so
maybe this will bring you back to the fold. Because it's got Colin Farrell as the Penguin, too. That's the other rumor. Hilarious.
Oh. Mr. Cobblepot.
Yes. Oswald Cobblepot. Played by Colin Farrell. One of my Rocketeer picks because I love him so.
Colin Farrell is the Penguin. That's really interesting.
I hope they make him extra crazy.
This is really interesting casting choices for this one. I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued because it's not like what they've done with the past couple movies where it's just like, let's get a marquee name that we know is going to draw people in. I guess Robert Pattinson kind of is in a lot of ways, but
it's,
you know,
more like, let's get people that look like the iconic comic book faces that are close approximations.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying, cause like even back in the goofy fun Batmans, when they're like, well, from the TV series. And then later on when it's like, the Penguin, a short, fat guy, Danny DeVito, you know what I mean?
I get you.
So, I mean, they're doing something different, and it intrigues me.
Oh, I'm with you. Two more points about Batman, and we can go on to the next one. My point about Robert Pattinson, I'm excited for him. I'm actually was on board when I first heard it, because he does have the Twilight stink, but he was in Harry Potter for a short, brief time. But he was in a movie called Good Times that was done by, I can't remember the guy's name. I'm blanking on it now, but he's the same guy that did Uncut Gems, the Adam Sandler movie that just blew up, that everybody started talking about. It's a darker movie. It's a twisted movie, but it showed how Robert Pattinson can play like a man like at the end of his rope, having a real bad day and sort of kind of trying to overcome it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you can kind of see a little bit of Batman in that. And I'm like, ooh, if he brings that, I'm totally on board. So I'm for that. The TV that ties into it, HBO is producing a Gotham Central police procedural to go along with the movie. So there's going to be kind of like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for Marvel movies. This is going to be Gotham PD for the new Batman movie that's coming out, which could be cool, or it could turn into NBC's Gotham, which was
I was going to say, didn't they do that already and no one liked it?
Yep. And I think it was NBC, but they did Gotham, but that was more of a CW kind of soap opera rather than a procedural to me. I don't know.
Oh, so when that, it was on NBC, you said?
I think so.
When that was coming out, people were thinking or hoping or whatever that it was going to be like, isn't there a comic book series that's about the Gotham police?
There is. And
then
HBO
it wasn't
show,
like that? Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. But that's funny that you say that because that's what HBO is citing as their source material for the show that they're developing. So they're actually going to do like the comic book version of what you're talking about.
All right. So here's some brilliance that's happening here. And I'm going to pin this on my generation, the Gen Xers, because like right now, it's Gen Xers who are getting in these powerful positions in studios.
Yes.
The baby boomers are all old now. So a lot of them are retiring, and you're getting people who I think were, you know, you see it when you're watching The Mandalorian behind the scenes and stuff. These people were way nerdier than any of the baby boomer executives were.
Yes.
And I think as such, they get a feel and listen better. And they're a little smarter about how, like, they're like, okay, this NBC thing, why did no one like it? Well, people thought it was going to be like this comic book. And they're like, okay, well, why don't we just make one like this comic book? And then it's like a duh thing. But to me, it's like the difference between it, and I want to beat on it a little bit because I keep bringing up Firefly and everything. But that was clearly an era when you had the baby boomer executive and Joss Whedon, the Gen X creator.
Yes.
And the executive is like, I don't get this at all. Get it off my station.
Yep.
You know, and I think that if that show was on today, there's no way it would get canceled or anything like that. They'd be like, oh, I get this. This is like total nerd stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's just, yeah.
And I think Firefly just barely missed the cusp of when you can use social media for good, because like with Community and other shows like that that got canceled, there was a vocal internet presence that helped it. Firefly got canceled before like the internet really had as much sway as it does today.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. It's the baby boomer radio programmer that's like, nah, the audience isn't, the ratings are down. We got to do something else.
Yeah. If you want a good example of that, go watch Howard Stern's Private Parts.
WNBC.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So yeah, look out for Batman the TV or Batman the movie and Gotham Central the TV show coming out next year.
So that's going to be, the show's going to be on HBO?
Yes, HBO Max.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is Batman going to be shown at all?
What do you mean?
Do you know if Batman's going to be shown at all? Or
like
is
in
it
theaters?
Just, no, in the series.
Oh,
is he going to be part of it?
In the TV show. Because it takes place in the era where he's apparently developing his relationship with them, I'd imagine he has like he'll stop in, but I don't think he'll be any sort of focus. He might be B2C story.
It's just interesting to me because that was one of the knocks on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that there was all this stuff going on in the movies.
Yeah.
And then like it was like, how come we never see Captain America at all, you know? Or whoever works for the, you know, and it's like, well, because they can't afford any of the Chris's.
Oh, yeah. It is a budget thing. But I think I dropped off on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. But from what I've read and kept up with, like they started bringing in Easter eggs to sort of hint at stuff to sort of appease people like that. So
yeah,
maybe they'll do that with Batman. Be like, he left behind a Batarang. Look, isn't that cool?
Yeah, but it's also so much easier with Batman because his costume is so concealing.
Yes.
That even if you're not having direct dialogue with him or watching stuff, you can have him like running around and doing stuff and just, you know, doing the standing behind you, say a few lines, you turn back around, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's running away in silhouette.
Type thing. Because, you know, all you would need is like someone who can mimic Robert Pattinson's voice if you wanted to do that.
Or at least Christian Bale's voice. Yeah, welcome to Gotham Central.
I think anybody can do that.
You just have to yell for a few days and not use a lozenge, and you'll be all right. But to wrap things up, I'd like to talk a little bit about video games, because, oh man, am I sitting around playing video games.
Bling, 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 bling. That's Mario getting coins out of a thing. That's my impression.
I love it. Now do Yoshi. Oh.
I forget what Yoshi does. Or it's Sonic getting a whole bunch of coins.
There you go.
They sound the same.
Yes.
bling, 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 bling.
I love it. Much like Henry Cavill was all over the internet for a few days, Animal Crossing refuses to leave the internet since it has come out. But the fun part about it is it seems we've entered into Animal Crossing Celebrity Edition because I've seen Brie Larson playing Animal Crossing. I've seen Felicia Day and Elijah Wood playing Animal Crossing. Have you seen any of this?
Yes. Well, I'm a fan of Brie Larson. Come at me.
That's recorded. That's archived on the podcast.
And I guess she was like super bored at home. So she started her own YouTube channel, which is fun. It's funny to me because it's like when, you know, because we do this plucky little podcast over here.
Yeah.
And we're inspired by guys who are huge in podcasting anyway. But it's kind of funny because when Conan O'Brien started doing a podcast, a lot of people in the podcast community were like, oh, come on, really?
I'm trying to
grow this podcast over here. And now here's Conan. And it just blows up, of course. But to me, that's like, whatever. I mean, Joe Rogan was already there. Yeah. So what's the big deal? And the same thing's happening on YouTube with YouTube influencers and people doing just the, not even the influencers, the minor players. But you know, there are people who, as we know, there are people who are influencers who have millions of subscribers. And then there's the ones who are doing well. I mean, they have the thousands upon thousands of subscribers, but those are the ones who are complaining like, really? Hollywood Oscar-winning actress is now starting her own YouTube channel?
Yeah.
And then her second post after her first post explaining I'm starting a YouTube channel is her playing Animal Crossing in her pajamas. Which is hilarious. It's hilarious to me because it's really no different than anybody else's YouTube.
Oh yeah, it's just channels. A person playing Animal Crossing on YouTube and being like, this is the best.
And it's like, but you're sitting there going, but that's an Academy Award winning actress doing that. It's so crazy to me. And she's such a freaking Nintendo fangirl.
Yeah, that was the cool part.
And I mean, like Felicia Day, that makes sense. She's always been in the nerd sphere and she's always kind of been doing stuff like this. And so, yeah, that makes sense. But Elijah Wood, though, that's another one who it's like you're sitting there watching that going, what the heck, dude?
But here's the funny part about Elijah.
You're a hobbit.
Oh, yeah. You don't need money anymore. Lord of the Rings are a worldwide smash.
Yeah.
But that makes sense that he's sitting around playing video games. The thing I love about the Elijah Wood story is I heard about it because apparently, like, he almost did, like, the secret celebrity Bill Murray, like, sneak into people's games and, like, do nice things for him. And then only later realized that that was Elijah Wood. And he'd be like, all right, thanks, bye. And it's like, wait, that was Elijah Wood? I was like, yeah. It's like, no! Like, so he was being super sneaky and not really in anybody's face about it, but that just seems so like something Elijah Wood would do. Hilarious.
I think there's a whole documentary on Bill Murray, like
randomly showing up at parties and just doing
right. But it's like a documentary about the phenomenon. It's not like they were with him or anything. It's really interesting.
So that like they're talking to people that have Bill Murray stories, but no actual documentation.
I think so. I think it's stuff like that.
That's great.
I didn't watch the whole thing. Sorry.
Oh, hey, that's great. But that's my favorite. Even if it is just urban legend, that's one of the best ones because it seems so like you believe it when you hear about Bill Murray. It's like no one will believe you. It's like nobody will. But this is amazing.
I don't have a Nintendo. So Animal Crossing. Now, this is happening with the Brie Larson, Elijah Wood aged people because that when it first came out was when they were kids, right?
Yeah, I am in their generation as well, and it is one of the properties that started out maybe Super Nintendo, but definitely Nintendo 64 onward and every platform since then.
Right, and then the latest one came out, so it's kind of like it's the Switch version that came out, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of having like a Minecraft resurgence type thing for the older people who loved it when they were younger or picking it back up again.
That, and it has the double bonus of being the dark times. It's a really, like, I think we talked about it in our Pick Me Up episode, but it's just a really pleasant, wholesome experience. It's not so much a game as it is just sort of diving into a virtual world and hanging out with friends and doing friendly things and, you know, decorating an island and building stuff like Minecraft. It's whatever you want to do, but there really is no pressure element to it. So for people that are just wanting to sit around and, you know, get a few cheers in, it's perfect. So I think that's the double bonus of it.
Yeah. It's a very Nintendo looking game. You know, it has that Nintendo stuff feels happy always anyway.
Yeah. A little bit childlike, but not necessarily simple. So.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yes.
Hey, look at me coming up with smart things. Happens rarely, but I'm glad we got it on microphone. The second video game news. This one was for me. They're remaking Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
No way.
Yes.
That's not just for you, my friend.
Okay. News for both of us. Even better.
When did Tony Hawk... It came out... When did the first one come out?
Oh, let me pull it up real quick. That I don't know off the top of my head. The first Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out in 1999.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense. So...
And then the second one followed a year later in 2000.
Okay, so, yeah, that's newlywed pre-kids.
Yes.
So
time to play video games with the wife and hang out and have more free time.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I remember that being a sensation.
Yes.
So that's what made Tony Hawk even more Tony Hawk.
Oh, for sure. Like, he was a pro skater. Like, he started skating when he was a wee tot and already had a career. And then the video games came out and basically gave him double the career after that. So, props to him. I'm with you. I grew up playing these games. They were one of those, kind of like Animal Crossing is now. It's just one of those games you can get into and mess around and just skateboard. You know, there's really no, there are challenges and stuff to it, but it's just an easy, fun video game just to mess around in. The cool part about the remake that's coming out, which makes Mikey happy, is that apparently most of the original soundtrack is returning and they're just adding to it. So all the songs I used to put on repeat, all those punk songs that got me into the punk bands just because of that game, they're coming back. I'm so excited. I'm ready to listen to that playlist again. It was so good, especially for the hours I spent playing that video game.
All right, what are some of the songs on there? Remind me.
Superman by Goldfinger was the classic. Saying, ah, I'm no Superman. That drum riff, right, when you bust through the wall in the warehouse. Uh-huh. That's how you started off. There was some Beastie Boys. There was Clash. There was, like, basically the essential California skating playlist was, if it was popular and cool to skate to in the 90s, all the way up to 99, there was some choice picks in there. Some hip hop. It was awesome.
Man, that's so cool, too, because is it licensing the reason why we've like lost that in games? That's like, that used to be such a thing.
It's part licensing, and the company that first started off and made it huge was Neversoft, and they sort of got like broken up and diverged into different companies. So that was part of the reason it went away too. The core team that made it didn't stick around.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is like I remember like around that era, the turn of the century. The turn of the century.
In the year 2000.
Games having soundtracks with real artists in it.
Yes.
Was much more prominent. And it was a much bigger selling point.
Yes. Because they started adding that to like the sports games too. Yeah.
The sports games, Grand Theft Auto on the radio, all that kind of stuff. But now it seems like that's really not a thing anymore. And I wonder if it's just music licensing.
That probably, the reason that Tony Hawk had to drop off some songs was because of licensing costs, so it's still happening today. But also, I think video games, like the AAA games, are getting a big enough budget that they can actually just hire people to be like, hey, make us some music.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. It's neat having radio hits on there.
Exactly.
And everything, so.
I guess they're counting on you to be a nerd and be like, you can figure out how to stream and play at the same time. Come on, nerd. Yeah.
Music licensing drives me crazy. It's like why watching the Wonder Years on Hulu, you can't listen to they don't have John Cocker in the front. So I just put it on mute because I can't hear that other version that's not right.
And it's so weird that just because it's missing that little something, it makes it a little bit off. I'm with you.
I sometimes pull up the Joe Cocker on my phone and play that.
See? There you go. We're living in the future.
I'm like, oh, I want to listen to it properly.
Oh, if you're watching it with your kids though, you just got to do the dad move and sing Joe Cocker version over whatever's playing and be like, "What would you do?"
They want me to hush when we're watching Firefly and I'm singing the theme song to that.
Oh, they're missing out on the small joys in life. Sing along with all theme songs.
Yes.
Something to wrap it up. Speaking of small joys, I am currently watching The Floor is Lava on Netflix. That is Mikey's. It's not really a nerd alert, but it's sort of the pick me up recommendation for the week. Flora's Lava is ridiculous. It's dumb. It's cheesy. It has no nutritional value for your brain. But it's like the old school. Do you remember Nintendo's Guts or Legend of the Hidden Temple? Like those old Nickelodeon game shows?
Oh, Nickelodeon? I think I know what you're talking about. This is where a generational divide happens. But you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to look something up
because
I think I know something. Oh, man. It's going to take me a minute.
Take your time.
I think I know what it is. What is the one? Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yep.
What is the one that was on regular TV that wasn't on Nickelodeon?
Aztec something? No.
So the thing that I did find is Double Dare. That's the one that I remember with Mark Summers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
same sort of vibe.
Yeah, Double Dare was huge. I remember Double Dare, but I found it. The great J.D. Roth and his show Funhouse.
Funhouse?
It's called Funhouse.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like Double Dare, basically.
But like,
it's the same thing as Double Dare.
Running over obstacles, yeah.
Yeah, I just used to watch it because of Jackie and Sammy, the twin cheerleaders that were on there.
Hey, that's a good enough reason for a kid to watch a TV. I'm still kind of in there, but
that's why I thought that was Double Dare because they're twins.
That's Double Mint Gum. But Floor is Lava is like all those shows that we're talking about. It's just super cheesy. You get to watch a team of three people try and cross an obstacle course that's made out of like old movie props and like kind of foam, kind of not foam obstacles. And it's ridiculous. It's a great party show. You'll laugh. You kind of maybe see people hurt themselves. It's all looks like it's pre-scripted. It's wonderful. Just mindless television.
And instead of lava, it's like Kool-Aid, right?
It's colored water. So,
yeah.
But the best part about it is, and I love this, if somebody falls in, even though it's water, they don't show them come back out. Like you never see them resurface. So they actually like die on the show. It's really funny. It's a small touch, but it's stuff like that makes it so silly. And it's perfect to hilarious. Mystery Science Theater 3000 your way through. Oh, wonderful. That's my pick-me-up recommendation for the week.
But each team doesn't get their own cheerleader who's an identical twin to the other team's cheerleader.
Nope. There's a Rutherford Wilkins. There's a YouTuber host to it, and he's all right. He has good energy for it, but he's the only other person besides the team.
The Floor is Lava. Hilarious. I've heard the mention of that. It's in the zeitgeist. It's in the ether.
Yes.
Flying around.
That's why it made its way into my headlines. So if you need a pick-me-up, it's dumb. It's fun.
So what I just discovered, and you may have watched all of this already, and if you didn't tell me about it, I'm going to throw you off your balcony.
Okay.
No.
minus a few points for me.
But have you seen the series, What We Do in the Shadows?
I've seen the movie and the series, yes.
Why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you tell me Matt Berry, one of our favorite actors, is in... basically Parks and Rec with vampires.
Exactly. Matt Berry should have been my tip to be like, oh, Kevin would love this because it's also Matt Berry from Disenchantment. It's that same sort of fantasy vibe.
Yeah, man. And it has like LARPers in it. I mean, come on. I didn't even know. Well, how did this get past me? I found out about the movie when we're watching The Mandalorian behind the scenes and Taika Waititi was talking about it. And I was like, that looks like it might be amusing. But I didn't go seek it out right away. And then I'm on Hulu jamming around and I'm like, wait a minute, is that movie? And I click on it. I'm like, wait, this is a series. Wait, that's Matt Berry.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, let's watch the pilot. And I watched the pilot and I was like, oh,
this
is one of the best things ever.
It is really, really good.
Okay. Be glad I'm not there in your apartment with you because you would be going off your balcony right now.
I owe you one nerd recommendation favor. I'm in the hole. Yes. That is a failing on my part.
Oh my gosh. When did that come out?
It's a few years old. Well, like there's three seasons.
FX.
Yeah. There's three seasons now. I think four seasons. There's not too many of them. But the most recent season came out fairly recently. So.
Oh my gosh.
It's not fresh, but it's still current.
I just want Matt Berry to, like, wake me up in the morning. Do they have a Matt Berry alarm? Like, Kevin, it's time to get up. I can't do it. His voice has too much gravitas, but I just want him to tell me it's time to get up.
I'm blanking on the tall guy's name, but he was my secret favorite. Matt Berry's great, but his counterpart.
Oh, everybody in it's great.
Everybody in it's great.
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, the freaking
Guillermo.
The psychic vampires. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It's one of the funniest things ever. And that guy was in Breaking Bad, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, man, it's great stuff. So that's Kevin's pick-me-up recommendation.
Have you watched the movie yet, or are you still working your way through the series?
I haven't watched the movie.
Okay. It's definitely an extra, like Firefly and Serenity. It's a nice combo. You should watch it all. There isn't a bad moment.
I will.
And make sure you order some pizza while you do.
Yes, because our pizza, all my pizza's here. Is your pizza here?
It's in the oven. I forgot about it. Oh, no, it's ready. Yep, I have my own pizza.
Oh, man. Pizza's delicious, and we love it. And we love you guys for listening. And thanks so much for listening. We also want to thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing. Not Scott Productions for our equipment. Jazzar for our music. And we hope you guys have a terrific week. Stay safe out there.
Stay tuned for more nerd alerts. We'll keep you updated.
I put a little thingy over this to see if it would. Does it still sound good?
It sounds great. Your peas are popping less. So.
My peas are popping less.
Pow, 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 pow.
Pea popper. Are you a pea popper?
A pea popper? You talking to me, Papa?
Tom Papa. Give me some bread.
Tom Papa. He's a pea popper.
He's a bread popper. Papa, papa.
Papa, papa.
Papa, papa. All right.